practically in the daytime. It'd be a big change. Those guys that went and that had to put up with that introduction of night ball after having had a lifetime of day ball must have had it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Now it's the other way around. They can't hardly play in the sunlight.
Yeah, that's right. Baseball with the grass or green.
When we finish, I've got it out in the trunk of my car. Well, my car is parked. I didn't want to park my car right out here because it's at night. It's pretty lonely out there.
Exposed out there.
Yeah, so I drive it around over by the pool there and get it among a lot of other cars.
Yeah.
But we'll walk down that way and I'll pull it out and show it to you, and we'll see who the printer is. I've got a paperback copy of it.
Oh,
all
right.
It wasn't as good, actually, as the one called The Glory of Their Times.
Was that right?
Did you ever see it?
No, I never
see it. I've got it out there, too. It was the earlier one in the 60s somewhere. And he, a guy who knew nothing about baseball, he admits it in the preface, got this idea and contacted a bunch of players and traveled around, interviewed them and edited it and so forth and brought it out. He had 22 players. Several of whom went back beyond the turn of the century, like Tommy Leach and Sam Crawford and some others. But some of them, the rest of them were up to maybe, I don't remember how far his latest player played, but
yeah.
He covered a lot of ground, and he did, I think, a better job than the second one, the baseball when the grass was real. Had 18 players, and they were of a little later vintage.
Yeah.
And actually, I got the idea for this one after reading those over again two or three times and seeing what players they had, and then I've always been interested in the statistics and the records and the players ever since I was a kid. So I said, well, hell, there are dozens of great players that aren't included in these two books that ought to have something to say about their baseball days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing. I find that the longest part of the job by far is going to be sitting down, as I've done with Glenn Wright's conversation.
Yeah.
Sitting down with this thing running and me at the typewriter to transcribe it printed pages. And then you use what you can and rearrange it and edit it and put in some other things that you know about the person.
What are you going to do, write a book or something?
Yeah, I'm going to, this will all be, all of these that I'm interviewing will be a chapter in a book, very much like those two.
Right.
But I've got some ideas for, what they did was they just took their tape, they did edit it and rearrange it some, but they only give about this much introduction to each player of their own words, and then all the rest of it is strictly off the tape, right, straight off the tape,
right.
Which is not bad, but I think you can also add some comments and background and other things to a player's career and his impact on baseball.
Yeah.
And they don't give the, what I like is full-time, the career records of the player. They don't show that anywhere in their books, which I think is a lack. You ought to be able to see what this guy did all the way through. So it'll take, with Glenn Wright, I talked longer than we have, and it was interesting as everything, but when I started doing it on the typewriter, I said, boy, we talked too long, because I got up to 40 pages on the typewriter.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And it takes too many hours to pull that off the tape, and I've got to do it. I want to get about 20 names. I've got 13 for sure now, and I've got a bunch of others like JoJo Moore and Guy Bush and some others that I think I can
Guy
catch.
Guy Bush, he's still in Mississippi?
Shannon, Mississippi. Yeah. I'm going down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama from Memphis to see Joe Sewell.
Oh.
And Shannon is right on the way, so I wrote to Guy and said, I'll call you when I get near and see if we can get together. Anything else you think of that you'd like to say about baseball?
Well, no, but nothing I think about it. Everything I know.
Is Horace Stoneham dead now?
No, he's still living.
I thought he was.
He's got a pacer now.
Why did he sell out?
He went broke.
Yeah.
National Exhibition Company went broke.
Well, now, was it his father who had the Giants when you were in New York?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, all of those old owners are fading away. There's many of them took over from their fathers, like Calvin Griffith in Minnesota and O'Malley in L.A.
O'Malley wasn't really one of the old.
No. He was kind of a Johnny come lately.
Yeah, he come in real late as far as the old ones were concerned. But the Griffins, they got in the family,
Oh, yeah.
From a long way back.
Oh, sure.
He's still hanging in there. I don't know
what the hell he's doing. But
I don't know either.
He's apparently getting some money for all of these maneuvers, but he's not giving the fans their money's worth, I'm afraid.
Well, the American League has a lot better deal on visiting teams.
Is that right?
Oh, hell yeah. They got a good team. Hell, he makes it on tennis on the road.
What's the percentage cut?
I knew.
Yeah.
But I'd be afraid that you're going to try to save the cut, but I know the American League is much better than that.
Boy, that ought to be changed some.
I think the National League should have had something like that rather than have, that home team's got to have somebody to play. Los Angeles now draw 3 million people.
Sure.
They could help some of the clubs draw pretty real good.
Angels might hit 3 million in Anaheim this year if they keep winning.
Stay in the race, they probably will.
Yeah. They ought to stay in the race. They've been one of the great disappointments of baseball with all of the big names they've brought in there.
I tell you, the old cowboy. He has spent about as much money as anybody on that team,
right.
And I have never heard him complain about a single solitary thing, never said nothing. He's just always ready to keep going.
Remarkable. Even more than Yawkey with the Red Sox. He did a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
A magazine called the California Magazine, it's a very nice magazine, really, published in L.A., had an article in March, a long one, on Gene Mauch. Said he may be baseball's smartest manager, but why can't he ever take a team to the World Series? And they delved into it in tremendous depth and detail, and the guy who wrote it was good. And this may be Gene's year, but of course they thought that at Philadelphia one time.
Gene was up there too.
Yeah.
That you couldn't hardly believe that one.
No, I think that's the worst
six game lead to go and about seven games to play.
That's about it. Yeah.
I think
that's the all time choke in baseball. There have been some others that are pretty bad, but that's.
Yeah.
That's really getting bad. You saw Wilbert Robinson manage some, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. He and McGraw used to yell at one another back and forth across it.
Visualize
it. That's quite a deal.
Yeah. And were you... Casey managed the Braves probably while you were pitching.
Yeah.
But he hadn't...
And the Dodgers, too.
Yeah, he hadn't come up with his managerial strategy, or he didn't have the players. I think it's the latter.
My idea about Stengel, I believe the game come back to him. He didn't come up to the game.
That might be it.
I really think that's
a good way of putting it.
I don't see how a single could change at after that long a time.
No,
and
that's
I think
right.
The game come back to him.
Did you ever get around him much and hear him talk his Stingleys?
Oh, right. I've been to dinners with him, and he'd get up and just go. The greatest guy in the world can just be going on a subject, and something like that, and just stop abruptly and go right in on to another.
Yeah.
All again, a different thing.
Utterly
different. Different thing.
And in language that you had to know or be able to guess at to understand him.
Oh, yeah. The part of it you couldn't do. Like, I think you told a story about a couple of guys there, and Casey had just rattled off of them, just jumping up, and they were just clapping, this guy said to the other, he said, "God Almighty, what a speech." The other guy was clapping too, and he said, "Yeah, but what did he say?"
That has to be, I think that had to be born in, Casey. You couldn't develop a tactic like that, I don't think.
I think that thing, something about baseball where he was at the, got into Washington, and they were questioning.
Mm-hmm. A hearing before congressional committee.
From what that should have been taped to where everybody could have, they said floored him, everybody.
Sure.
He talked just the same there, as he does his
daughter.
Oh, yeah,
he talked
like
the same
ever. And he had them all just.
Buffalo. And in stitches, I guess.
He's quite a character.
Is free agency going to ruin baseball?
Well, I thought the strike was going to hurt it. But they still just fill in the damn ballpark.
Yeah, that's right. I
thought that would, cause then, you take two, you get used to something, right, doing something right in that period of time, mm-hmm. right, 2 months out of the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Go to ball games and everything. Well, now you're going to do something else. And you might get used to it, and you say, "Well, the hell with baseball."
Mm-hmm.
I like this better.
Yeah, that's logical.
But I tell you,
it didn't happen.
I thought that was going to hurt baseball.
Well, that's a remarkable thing, Carl. That baseball, with everything that's come along, continues to have its hold on the American public. Back in your day, professional football didn't draw that much. There was no TV, And there was no professional basketball, and a lot of other sports have come up since then too. And they get their millions to come to their games, but baseball keeps on going and even growing.
Well, I really believe one thing that, back in those days, everything was low key,
mm-hmm.
real low key. Well, they got nothing. You didn't get excited about anything, and there was nothing but now. So high key now,
it
and everything
is.
Else,
all hyped up.
That people get charged up, and at least they can go out to the ballpark and let off steam.
Mm-hmm.
Just let off, lot of steam that gets built up in them and everything else, where they can't do it. Now that might have a little bit something to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
Well, it's a remarkable game that whoever devised it, apparently it wasn't Doubleday, but whoever did, really came up with something that he probably didn't realize himself how neat the arrangement was. It's such a matter of inches and seconds, split seconds.
Well,
and
in the 18 and 80s there, when they were... they had to do a lot of trials and errors and different
mm-hmm.
things, and we get the bases so far apart, and
yeah.
the pitcher mound so far away, and everything else, and the four balls and three strikes, and hell, you read in those things where it started out that you had to throw seven balls before you could walk anybody.
Yeah. Pitchers can go for that.
Oh yeah, some of them would.
But the idea that to steal a base. It's a split second thing.
Just what it is.
Everything's
just
got to go just right for the defensive team to catch that base runner, or if they don't, he's in there. And
somebody does a real good job of
going from first to third on a single to right. It's so close so many times.
Like I say, it had to be trial and error to get it like that.
That's
you
right.
couldn't do it any other way.
Nope. I know what you mean. Well, it's a great game. And
sure is.
I spend a lot of the happiest hours of my life in ballparks, I'll tell you, all around. I never got to the polo grounds before they tore it down. That was one of my regrets.
Well, that was... you know, there was something, I don't know, back then, every baseball park had a character.
That's exactly right.
Every one of them was separate, different.
Yep.
Now, I don't know. I just wonder whether it's as interesting now as in there as it was then.
Not in that point of view. You could blindfold people and take them into a lot of these stadiums, or they've been to a lot of them, and they'd go in and they wouldn't know which one they were in if you took the blindfold off.
That's exactly
They're
right.
They're so damn near
That's
the
exactly
same.
Exactly right.
You only got the big four of the old days, Comiskey and Wrigley and Fenway and Detroit.
Yeah, that's right.
Tiger Stadium, which has been enlarged.
They're still the same.
Yeah. And they've got their own character, and they bring the fans closer to the game. Nowadays, they build a stadium so that it can handle football, too.
Yeah, everything else, you
put
so far away from them. But, I don't know. I think probably the fans probably might be like the old way. The other way.
If they had a chance, I think they would. Any of us who knew the old way certainly would prefer
that. Right.
Candlestick turned out to be a mighty poor choice of location, didn't it?
Oh, that's all politics out there. Right, just the worst.
Real blunder.
What is that old politician there? Oh, he wasn't a politician. He got all the, forget his name. He got all the city contracts, you know, paving and everything else. He owned that Tidelands there, you see.
Yeah.
That was where Candlestick Park was run down into the bay there. And he owned all that. He governed, run that city politically, and that's where they built.
The only way it could be made really inviting to fans and ball players would be to dome it.
Got it. That's the worst. You can't believe it there in July and August. Like one writer said, that the coldest winter I ever spent was July and August at Candlestick Park.
Well, I've been there in September in Candlestick, but I used to say when we'd go in the summertime, I was teaching at Notre Dame for 43 years, and we'd go spend the summer in California frequently with relatives. And the coldest I've ever been, almost, was going across the San Francisco Bay on the old ferries. God bless us.
Well, that's a phenomenon there, you know. Of course, you can get down the peninsula. You can get down around Redwood City there, Palo Alto, and it's just a good climate down there year round.
Yeah. And you go inland 15, 25 miles, it's hotter than hell.
Well, you go over that mountain there,
yeah.
The San Joaquin Valley.
That's
and
right.
That is what. See, that's what makes those winds. See, those winds come in there at the coastal range of mountains, you know, are pretty high along the
mm-hmm.
And it gets 102, 103 over there in San Joaquin Valley. And that's just over there a little way. And up there, then you know the air starts going up.
Yep.
And that's sucking that air in off the, and coming right through the Golden Gate and right across them.
Right through Candlestick.
Right, exactly. Right, just right.
Gee,
Yep. Oh,
that's a shame.
That was a shame.
Yep.
He didn't. Hell, he didn't get there. Ballparks are built back up to the west, you know, and you get towards the east, you know, to keep the sun out here, you know,
yep.
the sun out of people's eyes and things like that. This thing is damn near turned up this way because if they built the they would have had to put piling way down out into the bay was, you know, because there was no foundation back in there, and they backed it up there into the mountain and turned it that way in order to get a good foundation for the stands. And it's set wrong.
Well, that's something we can't do much about.
No.
Carl, I think I've taken much more time of yours than I meant to.
Oh, well, I didn't have anything to do.
But I'm delighted you came over, and I will... it's going to be, I don't get back home until about the 1st of August, and we think we're going to move within San Diego shortly after that to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But all the time up to Christmas, I'm going to be transcribing these tapes, and I hope I'm done by Christmas doing that. And then I start doing the editing and piecing together and making chapters for each one of these people I've talked with.
Yeah.
When I get one done, I'll be sure to send you one. And
right.
When and if the book comes out, you'll certainly get a copy of that.
Very good. I'll be glad to get it. I did, in that other one that I could talk about, I tried to find out where I could get that photograph screen.
Yeah, let's walk out to the car now, and I'll show you those two.
Oh.
And I have seen...